What's up, everybody? Welcome to the NFL Fantasy Live podcast. I am not Marcus Grant.
You're not?
No. I am Michael Fabiano here with Graham Barfield. Marcus not with us today, so we will do our best to make up for his absence.
Yeah, Marcus and his girlfriend are kind of in holding pattern, waiting to have a kid. It's a
I know.
Exciting time.
Yeah.
Send Marcus your well wishes.
Yeah, so obviously we wish Marcus and his misses the best, and hopefully we'll have some very good news.
I'm very excited.
Soon, maybe on the next podcast.
I think I'm more excited than Marcus is.
Well, that's a little weird, Graham.
No, I'm joking.
That's a little strange.
I'm joking. Marcus is just not the type to get excited about a lot of things.
Yeah, no, exactly. Unless it's like USC or the Dodgers or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, something to that
effect. Kent Brown with us today. Behind the glass, Ken, how are you?
I'm doing well.
And yeah?
You mentioned him with USC. I don't think there's a lot to be excited for with USC.
No,
so he needs to put all the focus into the kid.
Yeah.
And WrestleMania's coming up, buddy.
Oh, yeah.
Right? I'm a
Absolutely.
Big wrestling fan.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Are you going?
No, I can't go.
I'm not going.
My days
year.
Of going to WrestleMania are over, man. I got a kid to deal with, and
you know when it's
if it's
in
local,
LA,
I'll yeah. go. But like, I can't. Like, it's in New York. I'm gonna go to New York.
Exactly.
I can't do that. My girlfriend will kill me.
It should be a good card, but overall, I'm not gonna make the trip out to New York either.
I can't wait to see Miz beat the snot out of Shane McMahon. It's gonna happen.
It better happen.
It's gotta happen. All right, guys, let's get to the news. Well, unless you've been living under a rock, you know that Rob Gronkowski is it officially retired? Because then you hear all these reports that he might come back. So at this point, Rob Gronkowski has retired from the National Football League. And Graham, he was arguably the best fantasy tight end of all time. Going to be hard to replace.
I mean, I think he's retired. I think we've kind of been waiting on this for so many years now. I mean, with his back and knee and arm problems, I think we've all kind of been waiting on the inevitability that he would just kind of hit a wall. It kind of seems like he's maybe already having second thoughts, and if it turns August and he's like kind of getting the itch, it kind of sounds like he'll come back. But yeah, Gronk is the best tight end of all time. I think it's kind of been crazy and ridiculous. Like, people feel like they have to have a contrarian opinion, even though it's
of
wrong.
Course.
Mm-hmm. Gronk is the best tight end of all time, and he is a surefire first ballot Hall of Fame.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you could throw the names out there, Shannon Sharp,
yeah.
Tony Gonzalez. We're a fantasy show. No tight end in the history of the league who's played in at least 65 games has averaged more PPR points than Rob Gronkowski. I mean, the dude was a touchdown machine, and he was entertainment too, man. Those Gronk spikes, you had to love it.
No tight end has ever averaged more yards per game or touchdowns per game or yards per target, and Gronkowski at his best was probably one of the best run-blocking tight ends in NFL history.
Seriously. Couldn't cover him. Red zone machine.
And he was a great blocker. I mean, that Chargers game in the playoffs was so – it was just a classic Gronk game because, I mean, he didn't have a huge receiving game, obviously, but he was so, so good and so effective in their running game. It was a huge part of what they did. Patriots are going to miss him, obviously. Even a shell of Gronkowski like we had kind of in the playoffs in this past year, they'll still miss that.
You're not buying into Matt Lacoste, I guess, huh?
No. Oh, boy.
Well, you know what? Gronkowski's he's retired at this point. We'll see if that changes as we get through the offseason. But absolutely, first ballot Hall of Famer, the best tight end in fantasy football history. And he goes out on top, too. Goes out on top with the Super Bowl championship.
Another one. I guess it's kind of a quasi on top because he kind of took his time to say he was retiring. But sure.
Yeah. I can't wait to see him wrestle. Oh. Ken, you know that's coming. He's going to wrestle.
Oh, I was surprised he wasn't at Raw on Monday. It was in Boston. I thought he just retired.
Right.
He's going to show up and be on Monday Night Raw. Yeah, he'll probably be at WrestleMania in some
You would
capacity.
Think so. You
He's
would
already
so.
Been there before, so why not do it again?
He is 100% getting into acting, too.
Oh, dude, there's going to be a reality TV show. You know, I mean, this guy, he's made a lot of money. He's going to make a lot more money outside of the game of professional football. Now, we talk about the Patriots, and you lose a huge red zone threat in Rob Gronkowski, despite what his numbers looked like in 2018. You know, the Patriots, they're right now, they're in a bit of a hole in terms of pass catchers, Graham.
It is, they are, but I mean, at the same time, Brady and all of them managed last year without Gronkowski for most of the year. Edelman is going to be another year old, but, I mean, he's going to get peppered with targets again.
I moved him up.
Absolutely. They have got to – I will be surprised if they don't come out of the draft with at least one tight end. And they have, I believe, six top 100 picks, so they're going to be well in range to target Fant, target Hockenson, target Irv Smith from Alabama.
No, imagine if they got one of the top three tight ends. Like, suddenly everyone in the fantasy football world would be like, sleeper,
yeah.
Fant sleeper, yeah. Hockenson. I mean, and our Lance Zierlein has compared Hockenson to Travis Kelce. Giddy up.
Yeah. So, I mean, they were apparently in on the Antonio Brown sweepstakes, which I can believe now, especially since Bill Belichick probably knew Gronk. This would be Gronk's last ride.
I can't believe that the Steelers would do that, though.
Yeah, that was never going to happen for that reason. Yeah, I know. They were never going to trade him to the AFC.
Yep.
But, yeah, the Patriots are in a bit of a bind right now.
Yeah.
We'll see James White and Julian Edelman get their fair share of targets, and Brady will just – they'll just plod along like they always do. But, yeah, this definitely takes a huge explosive vertical element out of their passing offense, because even when Gronkowski is – like I've mentioned, he was a shell of himself last year.
Yep.
He's still fantastic.
I mean, right now you're looking at Philip Dorsett as their number two, Maurice Harris as their three.
Yeah.
At the wide receiver position, and I mentioned Matty Lacoste now would be projected to have the most fantasy value among Patriots tight ends. We'll see what happens there. But, yeah, the Patriots, you would expect them to do a little bit of something
in the
draft.
I wonder if they'll kick the tires on Jimmy Graham.
Well.
I mean, he's available, and he'll be signed on a one-year deal. There's a chance, because Graham has had basically – essentially no free agency buzz whatsoever. He's still sitting out there. I mean, I wonder if they'll go after him. But, yeah, they're going to be very thin. They're going to roll into this year and be very thin regardless.
Mm-hmm. Well, is Graham a free agent, though?
Jimmy Graham?
Yeah. I don't think he's a free agent.
Is he still on the Packers roster right
He's still
now?
On the Packers roster, yep.
I thought they'd cut him.
Mm-mm.
Well,
nope.
I was wrong.
Graham is still on the roster. That's sort of why and a lot of our guys have the Packers taking a tight end in their mock drafts. That would sort of be a dynasty league situation there too, unless the Packers decide that they do want to cut ties with Jimmy Graham. But
no, that was my fault.
He's still on the roster, and although you wouldn't know it after what he did or didn't do last season. So with the Patriots now losing Gronkowski, we think you would expect there to be potentially a bigger increase in terms of the ground attack with Sony Michel and James White. And I've seen a lot of rankings out there. Obviously, Graham and I, we do our own rankings, and if the Patriots don't do something in terms of improving their pass catchers, let's not forget, James White was a top 10 PPR running back. I get it. He faded at the end of last season, but he could still see a lot of targets and a lot of opportunities in that pass attack if the Patriots don't do a little something to improve what they have right now at their pass catcher position, which is Julian Edelman and not much of anything else.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's it. That's all they got right now.
Yep. Speaking of tight ends.
Jared Cook did sign somewhere. I did get
yes,
that one right.
With the New Orleans Saints, where Jimmy Graham used to play, and Cook was a top 10 tight end last season with the Oakland Raiders, goes to New Orleans where, I mean, Graham had a lot of success, clearly. Since then, you know, not so much. You know, Ben Watson, kind of. What do you expect from Jared Cook, and is he still a top 10 tight end from a fantasy perspective in New Orleans?
I don't know why I had Jimmy Graham got cut. That's weird. Anyway.
Maybe you're just trying to will that into the world.
I guess I am. Yeah, Jared Cook. Look, he's still Jared Cook. He's still a maddeningly frustrating player. He'll be 32 to start, he'll be 32 to start this next year.
Mm-hmm.
The Saints have kind of punted on their tight end position, like you mentioned, since Jimmy Graham left. They have not had an impact receiver. I think Jared Cook can come in and catch 55 balls, but am I super excited for him as like a top 12 fantasy tight end there? It's still Jared Cook.
Right.
Michael Thomas is going to get his fair share. No. Alvin Kamara is going to get his fair share.
I say he's sort of a back-end tight end one because of the offense, because he's catching passes from Drew Brees. But let's not forget, he became the number one option in Oakland last year for Derek Carr, right? They traded Amari Cooper to the Dallas Cowboys. Jordy Nelson, who is retired now, was a shell of his former self. They didn't have much of anything. Martavis Bryant was in trouble again. So you've got a situation there where, you know, Cook was going from being the top option to being three, four maybe in New Orleans, because you've got Alvin Kamara there as well, so who catches 70 passes a season.
As we know, too, Fabs, the Saints always love to rotate their receivers too, so
yep.
It's not like Cook is going to have necessarily a like locked-in role in their passing offense every single week. So
perfect tie-in here to our next topic, Saints. The NFL owners decided to pass the new PI rule. What's the fantasy impact here?
I think it's negligible.
Right, me too.
But it's still like obvious. I mean, this is one of those things that they just couldn't mess up. Mm-hmm. It's obvious that this needed to happen, right? I mean,
yeah.
Like,
dude, that was a disaster.
This should have happened 4 or 5 years ago, though. Like, all plays mm-hmm. should have been reviewable, especially like pretty obvious non-PI calls.
Right.
Yeah, obviously great to see.
Well, they can also throw a red flag if they believe there was a PI that wasn't called. Right? And if there was a PI that was called,
correct.
And they don't agree with it, then they could throw the flag.
Correct.
I don't like the new rule.
Really?
I don't like being able to challenge non-calls. To me, you can call pass interference on almost every play. So I don't know.
Would you be thinking that way if you were a Saints fan?
Yeah, but can't
ultimately, yes, because you can't just look at one play and make a rule change based on that.
The problem though, is you still only get two challenges. Mm-hmm. I mean, so it's not like you're going to be sitting there throwing the red flag on every ticky-tacky
call.
True. If it's obvious.
And then everybody on social media is like, oh, the game's going to get longer. Really? So
not really.
Come on, dude.
The game's already incredibly long.
I know. Even if it gets a little bit longer, you're going to turn the channel? Hell no.
No. People say
the National Football League.
People say this every single year, and they end up watching the same four-hour games that we all do.
Yeah. I just feel like they miss so many calls with replay anyways that, to me, less replay, the better. I'm kind of one of those people. The more replay – if they were 90% accurate with these – I would be fine with it, but they're like 50-50 anyway. So
you're not a big fan of the final 30 seconds of college basketball games?
Exactly. Definitely not.
Moving on, Philip Lindsay, who had wrist surgery. Right now there's a report that he won't be ready for OTA, should be ready for training camp. Let me ask you a question, Graham. Mm-hmm. Everyone, including myself, was on the Royce Freeman bandwagon at the beginning of last season. Okay, Lindsay comes in, and his yards per carry was ridiculous. Insane playmaker, caught around 35 balls out of the backfield, really became maybe the best waiver wire pickup in fantasy football last season. And we're all high on him now. Is there any possibility that this is the Royce Freeman year? we don't see it. Now we're all on the Lindsay bandwagon. Is this potentially the year that Royce Freeman comes in and puts a little dent into those touches, especially with Lindsay expected to miss some time in the offseason?
I hope not, because Philip Lindsay has the type of running style and he's just the type of player like you just don't want to take off the field. And Joe Flacco.
Agreed.
Joe Flacco loves dumping off to his running backs. Over the last 3 years, Flacco's targeted his running backs at a 24% clip. That's the fourth highest rate behind Breeze, Tom Brady, and Mitch Trubisky. Flacco, at this point in his career, can't really throw deep. He's shaky in the intermediate areas, and he can only dump off. So if Philip Lindsay is healthy, I want him on all of my PPR fantasy leagues this year. But yeah, this lingering wrist issue, I mean, obviously it sounds very, very serious for a broken bone to require this level of, mm-hmm. you know, this level of maintenance. And yeah, just got to hope he gets back in time for August. As long as he's there for training camp and he's healthy for August,
then we're good. We're all in.
We're all good.
We're all in. Yesterday I did a mock draft live with Cole Wright and the guys. And we were talking about Peter Schrager's mock draft, and he had Dwayne Haskins going to the Broncos at number 10. I get it. You know, it would be more of a Dynasty League ad because Joe Flacco is going to be the starter in 2019 as long as he's healthy and the Broncos are competitive. But think about Haskins with that big arm, Cortland Sutton, Deshaun Hamilton, Lindsay. Woo-hoo! That could be a fantasy-friendly offense if that happens.
I'm just not convinced John Elway knows how to scout quarterback.
Well, I mean.
I mean, he was a great quarterback, but he's shown.
Mike Francesa seems to think that he's great.
Yeah, I don't know.
LeBron
James is this type of player, too. Like, he's an incredible athlete, but every time he recruits a player, it's like, eh.
So I love Mike Francesa, okay? I love him. Yeah. But last week, Evan Silva got mentioned on Francesa's show, and I believe it twice, and Francesa called him Evan Silver. Because Francesa puts an R at the end of every word that ends in a vowel. So Evan, and I've been texting with him and tweeting with him, hashtag legend. I love to get on Francesa's show. I can't get on there. And Evan Silva's on there, man.
I think
that's great for the fantasy community.
You can get on there.
I can't. You know what? I got so, and I'm going to name drop, fine, whatever. But, you know, Jim Nance is a really good friend of mine. He's really close to Francesa. And even Jim. And Francesa played in fantasy leagues that I was in years ago, although it wasn't him running the team. I think it was maybe Rich Ackerman or Mark Malusis that was running Francesa's team, and Dog was in the league too. But even then, with Jim telling Mike, hey, let him on the show and talk, Francesa would have nothing to do with it, nothing. The only time that I was ever on Francesa's show was to talk about, and I can't remember the guy's name, it was a Las Vegas singer slash he was an entertainer who had passed away, and I was at one of his final shows, and I got on talking about that. Not even fantasy football. That was it. And I'll tell you, that was one of the most nervous I had ever been. And I've been, you know, on air and on TV for like ever. I was nervous calling in live to Francesca's show because that was like the show that I grew up with, Mike and the Mad Dog.
Yeah,
it was great, dude. It was awesome.
And you never know what you're going to get out of him, too.
I know.
He just might be in full hyper mode and not want any part of you for that whole interview, and then you're done.
As much as I love him, though, what is it, Funhouse on Twitter? Dude, it's pretty funny. It's pretty funny, yeah. All right, moving on. Jameis Winston wants to play at 250 pounds in 2019. Now, we're not talking about him becoming the next Jared Lorenz. You remember him?
Oh, of course.
Big dude. Yeah, the hefty lefty.
Yeah.
But Winston at 250. And Winston's going to end up being one of those players that a lot of us in the fantasy industry are going to be targeting late because Bruce Arians factor, offensive-minded coach. And if you put Fitzpatrick, who is now in Miami, and Jameis Winston's numbers together last year, you're looking at one of the two or three best quarterbacks in fantasy football. So what do you think of Winston wanting to play at 250? And what do you think for his about his fantasy perspective for 2019?
I'm now pulling up his weight on Google. Hold on. So he's 220. He's listed at 227 now. He wants to put on 25 pounds for what reason?
I don't know. That's right. What he wants to play at 250, man. I have no idea.
I mean, he does live in Florida, and there's a lot of good soul food, especially in Tampa. Good barbecue. So maybe he could do it. But I don't see the point.
And and we know he likes crab legs, but those don't add
the
weight. Oh, come on. Hey, I'm a Miami grad. I gotta take shots at Jameis when I can get him.
Oh, man. I thought we'd blown past that for years.
So his quote is, I'm going to play bigger this year. He was at Bruce Arians' charity golf tournament in Arizona, a solid 250. It's just about hydration and being at the peak body, too. 250. Well,
that's a big boy.
Yeah.
Play quarterback at 6'4".
Gonna be. I mean, that's going to be hard to tackle him. That's for sure.
Give him like 20 of mine if he wants them. We can make this a very quick trade.
I'll give him about 8 to 10 of mine as well, man. Lastly, now this one, so we're all going to be sort of looking at what the Rams do in the draft and the rest of the offseason because there's so many questions about Todd Gurley and that knee, and we've heard reports that it's arthritic. They matched the Lions' offer to Malcolm Brown, so Brown will remain in Los Angeles. And it looks like, and I haven't talked to CJ lately, but it looks like the Rams are going to pass on him and bringing him back. So if that happens, I guess that would be a good thing for Gurley's fantasy value. The Rams obviously need some depth behind him. But Peter Schrager, who, again, we focused on his mock draft on Mock Draft Live yesterday, had the Rams taking Miles Sanders at number 31 overall. If the Rams draft a running back, Graham, is that going to absolutely freak you out when it's time for you to draft in their first round and Gurley staring at you?
I don't think that they'll take a running back in the first round.
I didn't think so either. I thought that was a little nuts, but I said so. But
they still have a ton of cash left on Gurley's deal, a ton of cash, at least for this year. They are going to go into 2019 with Todd Gurley as their future back, regardless of his knee, because they have to. I mean, they have such a massive sunk cost into that contract. They don't really have another option. It has been a little bit of a surprise to see literally zero buzz around CJ Anderson.
I think CJ's surprised too.
Yeah, I mean, he'll resurface at some point during the summer. Obviously, there were questions, you know, kind of swirling about some of his conditioning problems when he was originally coming back into the NFL with the Rams. That could have laid over, but yeah, I'm a little bit surprised he has not gotten any interest or any offers. That said, though, them matching Malcolm Brown's offer and basically being immobile to the rest of the free agency running backs is very good sign for Gurley's.
It is.
For Gurley's knee, at least for this year. Long term, I have major, major questions.
Yep.
And I would be very concerned as a Todd Gurley dynasty owner, but for this year, I still think we can kind of peg him as like a top five or six back, but
yep.
We're all going to be walking on eggshells until we see him be that same explosive player again. Maybe it's week one, maybe it's week four, maybe it's never again. Until then, we'll be hoping Gurley is right.
Yeah, and we'll be reviewing my first mock draft, five-rounder, which will be on NFL.com later on today. And we'll let you know where I have Gurley and if Graham agrees or disagrees with where I am putting him. And Kent, that's the news.
Like was the news.
So with the Rob Gronkowski retirement news, I thought that Graham and I should go in and talk about some of the tight ends that we see that are going to be on the rise in 2019. And I get it. We all had an unbelievably difficult time trying to fill that position unless you had Kelce or Zach Ertz or George Kittle last season. It was tough. Eric Ebron was also fantastic. But I would contend that the tight end position is going to start to rise back, okay? And I said this with the running back position in the revival a few seasons ago. But I want to talk about the tight ends that we feel could end up being maybe not elite, but very close to elite in 2019. Now, obviously, Kelce, Ertz, we're not talking about George Kittle. Those guys were already at the top of their game. One of the players that I expect to break out, and he only didn't break out this past season because he blew out his knee, is Hunter Henry.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Hunter Henry is a guy I have ranked fourth among tight ends right now. And in an offense that, you know, you just lose Tyrell Williams to free agency, Antonio Gates may or may not be back. That's not going to really put a dent in Henry's value. But this is a guy here that I could see easily catching 60 passes in that offense.
Yeah, Hunter Henry is going to be, I think, once everyone kind of realizes how ridiculous his ADP is right now. I don't know if you've looked into too much of, like, average draft position early, but Ebron is going in, like, the 5th, 6th, 7th.
Ebron's going to be a bust. He's going to be a bust if you're taking him that high.
And then Hunter Henry's going in, like, the 8th or 9th round.
It's insane.
And, I mean, we're obviously baking in some touchdown regression with Ebron in that.
Some?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
And you're getting a basically similarly upside. In terms of upside, you're getting a similarly talented, I think, player. Like 4 rounds cheaper and a better offense.
Yep.
Yeah,
dude.
Give me that.
I'm all in on him. I'm also all in on O.J. Howard, okay? Targets are going to be available. DeSean Jackson was traded to Philadelphia. Adam Humphries went to the Tennessee Titans. You've got Mike Evans. You've got Chris Godwin, who I loved last year, and I love even more now. I mean, we could talk about him on another show, but, oh, dude, I'm digging on him. I'm trying to get him in every draft. I have him in my Dynasty League. Giddy up! But O.J. Howard. And he showed flashes last season, guys.
Yeah.
Before he went down with the injury, he started to look like he was going to be one of those top 5 tight ends.
The key to targeting these tight ends before they break out is I think, in terms of looking into their efficiency based on, like, how they've played on their limited snaps. So over the past 3 seasons, O.J. Howard is 4th in yards gained per route run behind Rob Gronkowski, George Kittle, and Travis Kelce. Hunter Henry is 5th.
Yeah.
Behind O.J. Howard, just marginally behind behind O.J. Howard. Both of those guys are going to be hyped up, especially Henry. Once, like I said, people are going to realize his ADP is insane and start hammering that.
Yep.
I think I might be a little bit priced on O.J. Howard this year, though. I'll be honest, because the Bucs have, I mean, they've got 2 fantastic receivers in Mike Evans and Chris Godwin. Mm-hmm. Yes, Bruce Arians has never had a tight end of O.J. Howard's caliber, but still, I mean, they have 2 borderline alpha receivers there, and I think the Bucs will be more competitive this year, and if they're throwing less, that might mean fewer targets. I think Howard is probably priced somewhat efficiently, but again, like, I come back to that. It's like, would I rather have O.J. Howard in the 6th or target Hunter Henry in the 8th or 9th? And
I mean,
right now it's just a pricing problem.
And Hunter going, you know, behind, and I love O.J. Howard, but behind Howard and Ebron just doesn't make any sense to me at all. Evan Engram for the New York Giants, we all expect him to see an uptick in targets in 2019 with the departure of Odell Beckham Jr. He is in my top 6. He's a guy who broke out as a rookie and then last season didn't really start producing on a consistent basis until the end of the season.
So let's
OBJ got hurt.
Let's go through it. So you got Kelce, Ertz, Kittle. Mm-hmm. Who's 5 for you?
Howard.
You got
Henry
Howard.
Is 4, yep.
And then you've got Engram at 6.
At 6, yep.
Okay.
And then I've got Ebron.
I think you can make a case for Henry over Ebron, too. Like, if we get a clean... Well,
yeah, I have him over Ebron.
We kind of have a clean bill of health on Henry. I mean,
right.
He came back in the playoffs, and he wasn't a factor, but he played, which is obviously a great sign. I think... I don't know. It'd be interesting. I might end up putting Henry over Howard, too,
I have Henry over Howard right now as well. And, dude, like, I always talk about it every year. There's guys who have the magical season. Right, it's the oh my goodness, this guy was tremendous. He was better than we all thought he was going to be. Ebron will never have a better season than he had from a fantasy perspective last season. 14 total touchdowns.
Yeah.
Okay, I think that's like 3rd or 4th all time among tight ends in single season touchdowns scored. And Devin Funchess is going to come in and take some of the red zone opportunities. And Funchess is a guy that Frank Reich likes. clearly. They brought him in on a one-year prove-it deal, and he's still a young player, a guy who's going to be utilized, I believe, by Andrew Luck and take some of Ebron's targets away. And then you got Jack Doyle back for an entire season, we would expect.
I do think, though, the bit about Doyle is what would concern me about, like, Ebron not. I mean, obviously the touchdowns regress. He's not going to score 14. Mm-hmm. But he saw 110. Ebron saw 110 targets last year. Like, people, I think people are kind of glossing over that. Doyle underwent another hip surgery this offseason. Mm-hmm. He's going to be limited for OTAs. He's apparently might even be sidelined till training camp. What are the chances that Doyle struggles through injuries again?
Oh, no, that's very possible.
And we're back looking at Ebron getting 90 to 110 targets.
That's something that you have to keep tabs on.
Of course, he's not going to score the insane touchdowns again. One of those touchdowns, too, wasn't it like on a weird
rushing.
Like, yeah, it was a
it was
weird
a rushing
like,
touchdown.
Rushing touchdown.
I believe he had 13 touchdown catches, and then he had the rushing touchdown there, too, which probably made a lot of fantasy owners who had the Colts running back at the time salty, right? Yeah. Other tight ends that I like that you could probably get dirt cheap in your drafts. Now, clearly, we're going to be talking about Fant. We're going to be talking about Hockenson. We're going to be talking about Irv Smith. We don't know where they're going to go. And I don't know that they're going to be very valuable in redrafts. It depends on where they land, obviously. If they go to Green Bay, if one of them goes to Green Bay, you're behind Jimmy Graham, at least at this point. So that could be sort of a one-year wait and see.
Wait. I've already cut him.
So that's right. Graham is off the roster. If one of these guys goes to, say, you know, the Buffalo Bills, who could, you know, use a tight end, they signed Tyler Croft, but okay, whatever. The Jaguars could use a tight end as well. If one of these guys gets put in a position where they can see targets and opportunities right away, then clearly they're going to be more valuable in redrafts. But some of the players that I have, clearly you got to be looking at Vance McDonald, mm-hmm. right? Because Pittsburgh's lost Le'Veon Bell. They've lost Antonio Brown or traded him. So he's going to see potentially more opportunities. We saw some flashes from Chris Herndon last season for the Jets, right? And Sam Darnold has a full year under his belt now as an NFL starter, so that's big. And a couple of deep ones, you know, we're going to talk about Lacoste, but we'll see what the Patriots do. But what about Dallas Goedert? I mean, I get it. Like, there may not be enough targets to go around because they have so many weapons, but he showed some flashes in his rookie campaign.
Yeah, the only problem is now they have DeSean Jackson, Alshon Jeffries, healthy. Zach Ertz is a machine. I think if we want to wrap it up on a really interesting conversation, David Njoku, he's always been kind of hyped up, and right now, like, there's just not enough opportunity for me to be super interested in drafting him, like, seventh, eighth round, where he's going. Once Baker Mayfield took over.
Way too high.
Yeah, once Baker Mayfield took over as the starter, Njoku averaged only 4.6 targets per game. Now they've added Odell Beckham Jr. he's kind of good. Again, like, it comes down to, like, a pricing inefficiency right now. Like, running backs and receivers, by and large, right now in ADP are priced very efficiently. But, mm-hmm. I mean, these tight ends right now are it's shaky. Because I think Ingram's too low. I think
Ebron, I can't believe Njoku's going that high.
Yeah.
Like, he's a double-digit round tight end right now.
Yeah.
Honestly. Like, why? And Njoku, he finished as a top 10 tight end last season, but the tight end position sucked.
Right.
It was terrible.
People are buying in on the hype of the Browns. That's essentially what it comes down to.
I get it, but, like, you have, like, honestly, like, let's look at their offense, okay? Who's the first option? We would Odell Beckham Jr. Who's the second option? Maybe it's Nick Chubb. Who's the third option? Maybe it's Jarvis Landry. And then Kareem Hunt will eventually be on the roster, too. I mean, Njoku's, like, the fourth option in that offense right now.
Yeah, he's seventh, eighth round, eighth, seventh.
Way too high.
Eighth round pick.
Way too high.
Yeah, that was, I think, kind of the flag I wanted to put on this is, like, not really entirely sure what people are expecting right now. In terms of early ADP, it's way too early to make any fair assumptions. But, yeah, Njoku is going too high.
Dude, I am waiting on tight end. I'm waiting on quarterback. It's something I've always done. Unless I can get a Hunter Henry somewhere, like that's a steal, or an R.J. Howard or an Evan Engram, I'm just going to wait. I'm just going to wait on that position. And I think it will get deeper with this incoming draft class. Obviously, with the three guys we've mentioned, it'll get younger. And hopefully it'll get deeper and better from a fantasy perspective over the next couple of years. So let's move on from the tight end position to my mock draft. And I do these starting right after free agency every month leading up into the start of the regular season. As we get deeper, I do 10 rounds. Right now I'm doing 5 rounds. And that's going to be released on NFL.com shortly. So I wanted to have Graham sort of like you're the professor, man. You're like the teacher. You're gonna say, here's the gold star. I like this pick. Or you're going to hit me with a ruler and think, hey, you're misbehaving with this one. I don't know where you're coming out. Now, my top 5 guys, Saquon, Zeke, Kamara, CMC, and Gurley, and this is a PPR league because is there anybody playing standard anymore?
Marcus is. He would come over here and have something to say.
No,
he's not here.
All PPR. PPR is standard now.
I'll be the ghost of Marcus.
That's right. That's my top five. My first seven picks are running backs, Melvin Gordon, Le'Veon Bell at 6 and 7, Nuke Hopkins at 8, Davante Adams at 9, and then Julio Jones at 10. What say you, Graham?
Yeah, the top six this year is so easy.
Do you think I have Bell too low? I have him at 7.
No, that's exactly
I've seen people put him at 3 or 4, and I think that's too high.
I have Bell at 7 as well, and after Gordon. I have Kamara now at 2 with Ingram for sure out, but obviously, I mean, you could make the case for Zeke even at 1 at this point.
Yeah, dude.
The more of the contentious point I think I have, if anything, in this first round is Julio at 10. I think I'm going to be much higher on Juju than I'm going to be higher on Juju.
So Juju, but I would have, in your rankings, will be ahead of Julio Jones.
He will be ahead of Julio.
Wow.
He will not be ahead of Michael Thomas, who you have going at 2, the first pick of the second round, who you get to in a second.
Juju as a first rounder for you?
Borderline.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, look, the Steelers are...
No, I get it. I get it, dude. I mean, he was...
the most pass-heavy offense in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
Antonio Brown is gone.
Yep.
Le'Veon Bell is gone.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Unless they draft, like, Hakeem Butler or something in the first round, James Washington and Juju Smith-Schuster, it's a fine... And Moncrief, that's a fine trio, but Juju is by far the best player of that trio, and with Moncrief in tow, they'll be able to move him into the slot, Juju into the slot more like he was in the past. I think he's going to go nuts this year. And
hey,
I
wouldn't be shocked.
He's only 23.
I know. He's a young dude. I love him. I love on and off the field. I love him.
Yeah.
And I'd love to see him succeed.
I have it Hopkins, Adams, Juju. Michael Thomas.
Oh, then Juju at 4.
And then OBJ at 5 or 6. But keep going, please.
Second round starts with Michael Thomas. And you're going to see this, guys. So the first round is going to be a lot of running backs. Second round, you're going to see more wide receivers sprinkled in. And some of these wide receivers were first round picks last year. But to me, because I'm a running backs truther, I got to go with the running back position because the revival is here, my friend. So I've got Thomas and I've got Joe Mixon, who was 6th in touches last year among running backs, 280, was tremendous. And I think the arrow's still pointing up for him. I mean, this dude's 22 years old. I've got James Conner at 13th overall, the third pick in the second round. And, I mean, we're talking about a guy who was one of the better runners in terms of yards after contact. He had 55 catches despite the fact that he missed 3 games last season. He is an all-around fantasy superstar, and he was so last season, putting up equal or better numbers than Le'Veon Bell did in 2017 in his final year. I have OBJ next at number 14, so he's obviously a wide receiver one. Then I've got Antonio Brown, first time in a long time that AB's not in my first round. And maybe why he blocked me on Twitter, not sure, but I don't believe in him as much as I did with the Oakland Raiders and Derek Carr throwing him the football. Now at 69, I have Tyreek Hill. And honestly, we know the stories out there that are going around. I don't know what the deal is. Nobody knows what the deal is yet. And until we get some more concrete reporting about what exactly happened and if there potentially could be some team or league discipline, he is where he is for me. And then I've got Juju, which obviously you disagree with. Mm. Kelsey, the first tight end coming off the board at 18. Nick Chubb at 19. Mike Evans at 20.
Yeah, Juju, I think, would slide up my board for sure. And I probably would take Beckham over Connor and Mixon.
Okay.
I understand, though, obviously both of those players are potential workhorses. You could score double-digit touchdowns. But OBJ with Baker Mayfield is too sexy for me to pass up. In that early second round range, it's just loaded. The top 30 Fabs.
You can't
lose.
So loaded. So the one player there was two at the end of the second round. So Nick Chubb, when he was the featured back for the Browns last year, he was averaging right around 16.5 PPR points per game, and he wasn't catching a ton of passes out of the backfield. This guy's a monster. Okay, he is an absolute beast. He was 8th in yards after contact among running backs. He's awesome. Do you think the second round is too high for Nick Chubb, considering Kareem Hunt will come back after 9 games, assuming the Browns have a bye somewhere?
No, and I'm going to pound this table. Okay. We don't know where Kareem Hunt is at in terms of his, like, where he's coming back. He's going to be suspended for half the year.
Mm-hmm.
There's just so much that can change in 9 weeks. I'm just not hanging my hat on Kareem Hunt coming in and being an impact player year one coming off a suspension with a – incredible offensive climate surrounded, you know, by amazing players, including Nick Chubb.
Yep.
It's not going to concern me enough to not take Nick Chubb in the first couple of rounds. I think, if anything, you can protect yourself from the downside, though, because I think you can make the argument for Connor and Mixon over Chubb just because they have locked in roles.
Yes.
But I still, at the same time, like the Browns, that Browns offense could seriously be one of the three best in the NFL this year, and Nick Chubb could score 12 touchdowns. Yeah.
And Mike Evans, I have closing out the second round, coming off a very solid season. I believe he was third in yards among wide receivers, and DeSean Jackson, Adam Humphries no longer in the mix. And Bruce Arians.
Somehow Mike Evans has gone from underrated to overrated to extremely underrated again.
I know.
It's insane. He's had such a weird career arc.
Like, yeah.
He was underrated his first year, and then he was overrated
huge
after
bust
the second
in the second year.
And then he's gone back to being just incredibly underrated. And again, we're about to get to this third round here, but Mike, the turn of receivers here. We haven't talked about Mike Evans, or we just did, but we haven't talked about Adam Thielen. We haven't talked about Keenan Allen. We haven't talked about A.J. Green.
And Mark all Cooper. These guys are third-round picks. So moving into the third round, top of the third round, I have a David Johnson, and I want to get your thoughts on David Johnson. Mm-hmm. So Cliff Kingsbury comes in, okay? This is a pass-first coach, okay? He is going to throw it. If he can throw it, and I'm excited if they draft Kyler Murray. I don't know where Josh Rosen would end up, but I'm telling you, if Murray goes to Arizona and ends up being the week one starter, you are going to hear me screaming from the mountaintops, get this guy on your fantasy team. Get him. Not going to cost you a lot. Get him.
Yeah.
Okay, get him. Now, Kingsbury did not target his running backs a lot when he was in college.
Yeah, that's actually – he did. And that's –
He did?
Yeah, my biggest point.
I thought the most receptions that one of his running backs had, and I have to go back and look at this, I believe it was in like the – like maybe like 30 or 40.
So they didn't have any bulk producers.
Okay.
They just had, as a team, they were 10th among all college football teams last year. They were 10th among all – their running backs were 10th among all – teams in receptions per game last year.
Yep.
Over the last 3 years in Kingsbury's tenure. Keegan Abdu, who works down in the research department over at Next Gen Stats, he pulled some pretty cool context from Sports Info Solutions dashboards and said that Texas Tech targeted a running back out of the backfield on about 8% of plays on first down last year. That was the sixth highest rate in the NFL,
In
college. I always say that.
But the most catches a running back had under Kingsbury was only 41.
Right. So they didn't have a single running back bulking up all of those stats, but as a team, they still targeted running backs pretty heavily.
Interesting. Okay.
This is a team, too, Fabs. Like, their offensive line sucks.
Right.
Like, that's not mince our words.
That's why I don't have him in the top 20.
But you could take this on the backside is smart coaches, which, sorry, Mike McCoy, you're not. I mean, obviously, Mike McCoy is not a smart coach.
Right.
If you have a bad offensive line, the number one thing I think teams should do more often, and good teams do this, is they target their running backs on first and second down out of the backfield. Guess what David Johnson can do?
Yep. Yeah.
I'm buying a DJ bounce back in a big way.
So the third round, is he a second rounder for you?
He's not a second rounder in a 10-team league because I would still have Chubb and Connor and Mixon ahead of him.
Yep.
But he is a back-end second rounder in a 12-team league for me, and I think if they do draft Kyler Murray, it's kind of gangbusters. I think you could start even pushing him up even more.
Yep.
The biggest hurdle I see though is like I think you can make an argument for Travis Kelce as a top 15 pick this year, and I could not draft DJ over Travis Kelce at any point.
Yeah.
Ever.
No, I have Kelce ahead of DJ.
Yeah, for sure.
I have Kelce at.
But no, but my point was, if they do draft Murray, I think that's his ceiling. I think that's I could not go any further drafting DJ any further than around Kelce.
So now we're going to get into some of the wide receivers you mentioned, and this is interesting to me. Now we're doing 10-team leagues because that's standard on NFL.com. But if you decide that you want to go running back, you can easily still get a very good number one wide receiver. In the third round, Adam Thielen at 22, Keenan Allen at 23. I've got A.J. Green at 26, Amari Cooper at 27, Diggs at 28. There's a lot of talent at the wide receiver position in that third round for fantasy owners. I've also got Dalvin Cook coming off the board. I mean, Latavius Murray is no longer there. No competition for carries, depending on what they do in the draft. We'll see. But he's risk-reward. If he can stay healthy, Dalvin Cook could be an easy cinch top 10 fantasy running back. I've got Zach Ertz coming off the board at number 25 as the second tight end behind Kelce.
Yeah, again, this is just the top 30, top 40 is extremely, extremely loaded this year. I think the interesting one, though, for me is Cooper versus Diggs.
Yeah.
That's really where
I'm wearing a Cowboys t-shirt. I think
that'll be the tough call because I've kind of reversed course on Cooper. We just went on this Mike Evans talk, but like Cooper has gone from being overrated to I think somehow being underrated again now with Dallas, even though he just exploded. Based on my Twitter mentions, every time I talk about Amari Cooper positively, people don't like it. It's weird.
Well, there's a lot of Cowboy haters out there, man. I know that he averaged almost 9 targets and 6 catches a game when he went to Dallas last season.
Yeah, the ceiling is pretty huge for him.
So,
but Stephon Diggs has always been my guy. Like
I've loved Diggs ever since he came out of school.
Every time he's on the field, he's just like a low end, just solid receiver one for PPR.
Mm-hmm. So you're going Diggs over Cooper? Are you going Diggs over Thielen?
No, I can't go Diggs over Thielen.
Okay.
I think Thielen's role is just slightly better. He saw more targets and slightly more air yards, but Diggs is just, so explosive downfield. Yep. Diggs versus Cooper, that's a tough one.
Yeah. Final two picks in the round, and I want to get your thoughts on Leonard Fournette and then Philip Lindsay I have at the bottom of the round. But Fournette, when he played last season, and it was sparingly because he was injured and he got suspended for a game, Most of the time, he was giving you a nice stat line. I know he had 2 or 3 20-point performances in PPR leagues, was getting the opportunities that he had gotten in his rookie season when he put up such good numbers. Is this a safe spot for Fournette? Too high for you? Too low? He's risk-reward. Like, he's the same thing as Dalvin Cook. He can end up being the top 10 running back, or he can end up missing 8 games and driving you nuts.
Well, I don't like buying players without, like, clearly Leonard Fournette has some sort of issue going on with his foot and ankle. I do not like buying players at cost when risk and basically we're getting a discount on Leonard Fournette right now. His injury concerns are priced in, and when a player's injury concerns are priced in and we have upside, like Leonard Fournette's average like 24 or 25 touches per game with the Jags.
Yep.
He has double-digit touchdown appeal. Their offensive line will be healthy again because they fell apart last year. We're now getting a humongous discount on a player that last year we all viewed as an RB1.
Mm-hmm.
That is always something I want to attack. I want to attack players that were formerly thought, because of the right reasons, we formerly thought he was an RB1, and now he's being drafted as a mid-tier RB2.
Yep.
Those arbitrage situations where you can buy low on a player that we all loved just because – I mean, there are formidable injury concerns there. They're formidable and they're real. That said, I mean, this is a humongous discount on a player that we're expecting to be a workhorse for next year because the Jags, again, it's the same thing as Gurley. It's the sunk cost theory.
Mm-hmm.
Sure, Leonard Fournette probably isn't what they expected. Todd Gurley's knee is probably not any better off than it's not. It doesn't sound good.
Mm-hmm.
These teams have so much invested in these backs. They've got to get them on the field and got to get them touches and make this make sense. And Leonard Fournette is in the third year of his rookie deal. The Jags just got Nick Foles. Their offensive line's healthy.
Yep.
Yeah, I'm back in on Fournette, too.
So Fournette would go even a little higher than this.
It sounds like I don't know. I wouldn't take him over Diggs and Cooper. So it's okay. Kind of like you have him in the right spot. It's just it's the same argument as DJ. It's kind of like once he gets to a certain point, I would be blocked out from taking him.
Yep.
But it is a humongous, humongous discount.
Yep. Moving into round 4. Finally, Patrick Mahomes comes off the board. I have him going at number 39 overall. Sorry, dudes. I get it. Coming off the greatest fantasy season of all time.
He's going to go so much earlier in casual leagues.
Don't care. He's going to go first round. He may go first overall. I'm not doing it. I don't care. Quarterback is too deep. I've got Mark Ingram leading the round off, and I love the move to Baltimore. Featured back, run-heavy offense, a guy who can catch the ball out of the backfield as well. Love Ingram in Baltimore. Then I've got T.Y. Hilton, Sony Michel, Damian Williams. Want to get your thoughts on him. Aaron Jones, Robert Woods, Kenny Galladay, and I moved Julian Edelman up. So right now he's a fourth rounder for me, Mahomes, and then Cooper Kupp. And I want to get your thoughts on Kupp as well because people think I'm maybe a little too high on him coming off the ACL, but I don't care. I love this dude. So let's start off with Damian Williams at number 34 overall. Kansas City gave him the reins to that backfield at the end of last season, and he was tremendous. The downside is sample size was small.
Sample size was small. They did get Carlos Hyde, but Hyde is such an atrocious receiver.
Yep.
Since he entered the league, Hyde is like dead last in yards per target, dead last in yards per reception among running backs.
There was a year that I think he had 59 catches.
Yeah.
But, I mean, he was targeted a ton out of the backfield. I mean, he was the offense there for San Francisco.
Yeah. He's he's bottom five or bottom six in yards after the catch, too, per reception in that span. Damian Williams is a fantastic receiver. He flashed.
Yes.
I mean, he flashed huge receiving ability. That was the biggest thing I thought the Chiefs would miss losing Kareem Hunt is Kareem Hunt was a fantastic receiver, and I was like, you know, Damian Williams can probably provide most of what Kareem Hunt provides on the ground, but he really, really excelled as a receiver.
Yep.
Again, though, it's Damian Williams. You're buying a player on a
very short sample size.
Exactly.
No doubt.
Short,
I know. And you know, I honestly think that Carlos Hyde, I wouldn't be surprised if Hyde ended up taking the job at some point, but he's not as good of a pass catcher. And Andy Reid likes his running backs to be versatile, right? So let's go back to Philadelphia. Hell, I'll go back to Deuce Staley, okay? I'll go back to Brian Westbrook, and we'll go back to Shady. And then let's take a look at what happened in Kansas City with Kareem Hunt before the madness. That guy was a fantasy star. You put a running back in Andy Reid's offense, and that guy, 9 times out of 10, is going to produce for you. Okay, with that being said, small sample size. Damian Williams has never really had to carry the full load of a backfield as an NFL player, so there are some question marks, but I think the opportunities are there, and I'm also interested to see if the Chiefs go after a running back in the draft as well. That could drop Damian Williams' stock somewhat.
Right. I mean, the thing I come back to with Williams, though, is, okay, let's say Hyde does take 10 carries away from him, right? Mm-hmm. If we still get Damian Williams with 4, 5, 6 targets per game, 12, 15 carries, he's going to be a solid RB2 in this offense.
No doubt. Aaron Jones at number 35, and I've cooled on him a little bit. I loved him last year, but now we hear the talk about a potential committee with Jamal Williams, which I don't like. What's your take on Aaron Jones?
Aaron Jones, on a per-carry basis, has been one of the most
efficient, he's awesome.
He's been one of the most efficient running backs in the NFL over the last couple of years. I find it hysterical that the Packers still keep talking themselves into Jamal Williams over Aaron Jones.
And it's not like it's McCarthy there anymore. It's like, you know, McCarthy's brain leaked into LaFleur. Like, no, just give Aaron Jones the ball 18 times a game.
I always have kind of like a, I don't know, my BS filter on when coaches start talking about running back by committees and like March and in April, especially when they don't make any sense, and Aaron Jones versus Jamal Williams does not make any sense. Aaron Rodgers has even come out and vouched for Aaron Jones.
Yep.
I'm buying Aaron Jones low in Dynasty. I think he still has like legitimate top 12 potential in this offense attached to Aaron Rodgers. That said, we also can't discount the fact that the Packers, for whatever reason, love playing Jamal Williams.
Yeah, and Williams was good at the end of last season, but he is not the playmaker that Aaron Jones is. As I mentioned, I closed my fourth round with Cooper Kupp, and that could increase, decrease, depending on the news with his torn ACL. He is expected to be back in time for training camp. I just remember I had Kupp last season. He's got 80 catch potential. He was on pace for 12 touchdowns. And, you know, I get it. I've got Robert Woods ahead of him, and I've got Brandon Cooks. I have, like, 3 Rams running backs in, like, 7 picks.
I was going to say, you have the Rams receivers ranked correctly.
Yeah.
Because I have it the same way. I have Woods, Kupp, and Cooks, but it's barely negligible.
I love Cooper Kupp, man. I liked him coming out of college. I didn't think he was going to make that big of an impact as a rookie. Last year started to show flashes, had a fight through the knee, eventually succumbed to the knee injury. If there's any setbacks, clearly he's going to move down, but I still have Cooper Kupp as a top 40 pick. Moving on to round 5, this is where we're going to get a lot of running backs, a lot of running backs. I start off the round with George Kittle. I believe that's right around where you're going to be taking him coming off of a historic season. I mean, he had the most receiving yards in a single season of any tight end in the National Football League. Had he not done that, Travis Kelce would have broke the record last season that I mentioned Brandon Cooks. Then I've got a run on running backs here, guys. I've got, and I'm really like to hear your opinion on where I have these guys ranked. I love Kerryon Johnson. Once he sort of took over as the guy in Detroit, averaged 17 touches, 17 PPR points per game over his final 5 games before he went down with the injury. Devonta Freeman, I'm all over the place. Like, I want to rank him higher, but I can't. I don't know why. I just can't. No more Tevin Coleman. Ito Smith is in the mix there. I have him coming off the board in the middle of the 5th round. Then I've got Chris Carson. I'm a little worried about Rashad Penny. Marlon Mack, who his value went up because the Colts didn't do anything at the running back position. And you wonder if they're going to draft the running back because they drafted 2 last year. So we'll see. James White, and he could move up. Like, James White could end up going into the fourth round for me, depending on what the Patriots do or don't do for the rest of the offseason. Derrick Henry at number 48, Tariq Cohen at 49, and also we have to figure out what the deal is with the Jordan Howard situation, because I can't see them keeping him after they sign Mike Davis. And then Kenyon Drake, the running back everyone loves to hate, who's really talented, but Caleb Elijah's there, and I don't know if they're going to give him the ball, you know, 18, 20 times a game. Right. He closes out my top 50.
Yeah, the biggest one I think we should spend some time on is Devonta Freeman.
Okay.
Last year, he dealt with a knee injury, a foot injury, and a groin injury. Landed on IR with that groin injury.
Yep.
Still only 27 years old.
Yes.
And we have seen him be a back-end RB1 when he's fully healthy. Mm-hmm. It's the same conversation we just had about Leonard Fournette. Mm-hmm. We are getting a player at a discount off of injury. But that injury discount is priced in. You're basically not assuming any risk. You're not assuming much more risk by drafting Leonard Fournette at the end of the third round. There's not much risk in drafting Devonta Freeman at the
beginning. You think Freeman's a fourth rounder? You think I have him?
I think if we get a clean bill of health in
I'm waiting for, yes.
May, June, again, he did just come off. I mean, knee, foot, and groin injuries. Mm-hmm. But again, 27 years old, no Tevin Coleman. I think,
although you do hear them talking about Ito Smith kind of coming in and getting his share.
I mean, yeah, Ito Smith will get his touches. Devonta Freeman is not a workhorse. He's not going to play 80, 90% of the snaps, Fabs, like Bell does.
Yep.
But yeah, I think if he's right, I think if he's right, I could take him over pretty much everyone you have in front of him, except, man, I would put him as high as like the early into the fourth round. Like I would draft
Devonta over Freeman Ingram, over Sony Michel.
Yeah, I was gonna say I would draft Devonta Freeman over Mark Ingram, T.Y. Hilton, and Sony Michel if we knew Devonta Freeman was healthy.
Seems like so long ago that Freeman was the number one running back in fantasy football.
That was the craziest year ever because everyone got hurt. Everyone died.
2015.
All the running backs died.
This was the top 10 guys: Freeman, Lamar Miller, Doug Martin, Latavius Murray, Mark Ingram, Chris Ivory, who just got cut by the Bills.
Chris Ivory was a top 10
Frank
running back
Gore for the Jets. For the Jets. And Shady McCoy. It was ridiculous. And then David Johnson came in. That was when David Johnson started to see that rise in value. And then
the following year. That was the year DJ.
He went off.
Right. DJ was not a starting player until the final few games. Holy you're right. Oh, my God. Chris Ivory was the RB11 that year.
Yeah, dude.
That's insane.
Right? Yep. It's crazy, man. He was up there, dude. He was very good.
We have come a long way.
Yes. Yes, exactly. So I close it out with Kenyon Drake. And Kenyon Drake was a guy that I didn't like last year because I knew, and I think a lot of us did, that Frank Gore was going to take touches.
Yes.
No matter what you talk about with his age, he's not your typical 34, 35-year-old running back, which he was last season. Now he's going to be coming into that. Boy, that's an old backfield with McCoy and Gore, and I'm afraid of McCoy's value, and I was before they signed Frank Gore. But Kenyon Drake, he's the best offensive weapon they have in Miami right now. Am I wrong?
Well, Miami's a super, super interesting case study right now because it does seem like they're actually doing the right thing and tearing it down and kind of rebuilding and playing for Tua next year.
Yeah.
I would be very surprised if Miami invests again heavily into their backfield this offseason, considering they're rebuilding, considering there's now trying to sit. I mean, they have literally over $100 million in cash secured for 2020. I will be very surprised if they spend one of their top picks on a running back.
Me too.
That said, they're going to roll into this year with Kenyon Drake and Kalen Ballage, and both of them are going to be cheap.
Yeah.
They're going to be cheap.
Yep.
Relative to their upside.
I mean, and you may end up seeing a scenario where Ballage is the better value based on where he's going to be projected to go than Kenyon Drake. Right now I have him going in the fifth round. And, you know, Drake was, what, RB14 in PPR leagues last season? So it wasn't terrible. The problem is he was like all or nothing.
Yeah.
He was all or nothing. And if they gave him a bigger workload, my God, he would be a top 10 running back, no question about it. But that didn't happen. So again, you're going to be able to check that out, NFL.com/Michael Fabiano. That'll be out later on today. So before we let you go, I just want to give my best wishes to Michael Irvin, wearing his t-shirt here today. He's undergone, throat cancer testing, and, I believe he lost his father to throat cancer as well. So Irv, we love you, my man, and, we're rooting for you and, praying for you and hope everything, goes well.
Yeah, absolutely. Cancer's no joke.
Yeah.
No joke.
Yeah, and we'll be back next week. I believe Marcus may or may not be back. Marcus, we love you. Best of luck with everything with the baby, which maybe, you know, at this point when you're listening, little Marcus will be here.
Yeah, hopefully. Yeah,
that'll be it.
We'll see.
All right, guys, so check us out next week, NFL Fantasy Live, and make sure you go online and review us. You know, tell us what you think, good, bad, indifferent. Hope you all have a great week. We'll see you next week.